Good morning, girls and boys. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm sure you're well aware of that's where we're going. The verse we're looking at this morning is the verse 6. Now remember what we're doing here. We're looking at the word faith as it's set before us in Hebrews chapter 11. And it's set before us many times in this chapter. So, if we look at each one of the occurrences of this word faith, it should keep us busy until the end of the month of June, which to you probably seems an awful long way away, but it's not really that long until it will come round. Well, let me read verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Lovely verse, full of gospel meat and food for our souls. This verse follows on from the one that immediately precedes it. There we talked about Enoch. For the verse 5 says, but Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now I told you that Enoch was one of only two men in all of past history who went to heaven without dying. He went straight to heaven from earth. Didn't die. Wasn't laid in a grave. He went straight to heaven. Elijah was the other one. That I'm sure you remember. Now, having told us about this wonderful man, Enoch, and how his faith pleased the Lord, the next verse goes on to say, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And as I looked at this verse, I saw how it was linked on to the verse 5, and I felt that God was saying, yes, Enoch was a most unusual man. He pleased God. And because he pleased God, he was translated to glory without ever having seen death. But it was not just something that Enoch could enjoy, this pleasing God. But we all can please God in the same way, and out of that, be taken to heaven. Well, not in the same way that Enoch was taken to heaven directly, but nevertheless, those who please God by believing in him will go to heaven. That's what is being emphasized here. So let me start off by saying this. Pleasing God is the chief duty of all. That's the chief duty. Each one of you here this morning, it's your duty to please God. It's your duty to so live, to so obey, as to please God. We need to bear that in mind. Boys and girls, it's a sad fact that there are very few who even think about God, never mind please him. From they rise in the morning until they go to bed in the evening, they never would think about God. They would never give a thought to the fact that he exists and watches their every move, their every word, their every thought. God is invisible to them in every way, and he just does not enter into their thoughts. That's how it is with most people. But boys and girls, it's our duty to think on him, to consider what it is he requires of us, and then for us to do that which he requires so that we please him. Romans chapter 3 and the verse 11 says this, there is none that seeketh after God. Do you hear me? None that seeketh after God. That is, there is no one who of themselves will ever think about, consider, or seek after God. There are those who seek after God. I read in my Bible reading this morning before I came down here about Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. Suddenly he was faced with the truth of God. He was spoken to directly by the Lord. And he who had never really given proper thought to the person of Christ was made to realize that the one he despised, indeed he hated, was the Son of God. Now those thoughts arose in his heart, not because of anything that was of him. It wasn't by a natural process of thinking or meditating that made him think these things. It was God working in his heart. And if you're saved this morning, you're saved because God caused your thoughts to suddenly become occupied with thoughts of God. You began by the promptings of God to consider what the Bible had to say about him, and about you, and about your sin, and about where you were going if you weren't saved. All around there are people, and they never give any thought. You know, as I read this morning about Saul's conversion and his conversation with the Lord there on the road to Damascus, there's a little phrase that's added to the story, and it says that the men who were with him heard a voice, but saw no man. They heard a voice, but they didn't see what Saul saw. Is that the way it is with you? You're listening now. You hear my voice, but you don't see anything of the one I'm talking about. Anything of the one this book is referring to, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Saul saw as well as heard, and was converted. And maybe the one sitting beside you has heard and seen Christ and is converted. But you only hear the gospel and you forget about it as soon as the preaching's over. And you don't see. Well, if you don't see the Lord set forth in the scriptures, presented to us in creation, you can see the Lord out there. You can see the work that he has done, but you don't see it. You don't see out in the fields and the hedges and the flowers and the birds of the air, the clouds that float in the heavens. You don't see God. And because of that, you just can't please him. You can't please him. If you never think about him, never give any thought to what it is he says or wants of you, you can't please him. God cause you to hear and see today. It has to be said that only the Lord Jesus pleased God in everything he did and said. Only the Lord Jesus. Now yes, Enoch pleased the Lord, but we read in Matthew chapter 3 in the verse 17 these words spoken by the Father concerning the Lord Jesus. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Completely pleased. There is nothing in him that has offended me or grieved me or vexed me. I am well pleased with my Son. Now, that cannot be said of any man. Not even Enoch. He pleased God, yes, 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 because he believed the gospel. He trusted in the Lord Jesus. His sins were pardoned and washed away. God saw him now a redeemed soul, a cleansed soul. He saw him now robed in the righteousness of Christ. And that pleased God. Well, of course, that's how we can please the Lord if we come to Christ and are saved and put on that righteous robe that's presented to us in the gospel. I'm sure there have been occasions in your home when mum or dad says, right, we're going out, you have to change. Take off those old duds that you're wearing, that you've been out playing, and they're all splattered with mud and whatnot. Take them all off. Put on your good clothes. And you do that. And likely mum comes and straightens your tie if you're a boy, or brushes your hair if you're a girl, and says, you're looking nice. You're looking well. Didn't say that when you were wearing those old dirty Wellingtons and splattered with mud everywhere because you were galloping about outside. But now that you're wearing your good clothes, that's what's said. You're looking well. You're looking nice. Well, when a sinner is robed in the righteousness of Christ, God says, I'm well pleased. Because he sees you now wearing the righteousness of Christ. That's what it is to be saved, boys and girls. And it's our duty to believe the gospel, and believe in the gospel lust to please God. Now, we start to please God, according to this verse, by coming to him. That's how you start. You see, you remember Adam and Eve after they sinned? You remember what they did? They heard the voice of the Lord saying, where art thou? What did they do? They ran away and hid. They ran away. They went away from God. That's what you're doing today if you're not saved. You're going away from God. You don't want to be in his presence. You don't want to know him. And you can't start to please God until you stop running away and start coming to him in obedience. Listen to what the verse says. Look at it. Verse 6. Come on. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Coming on to the Lord as sinners is a result of realizing God is. Now, what does that mean? God is. Well, very simply, boys and girls, it means God exists. He really exists. You mightn't give much thought to that fact, but he really exists. Furthermore, God is as he is revealed to us in the Bible. God is not according to our notions. That's the case with the vast, vast, vast majority of people in this world. That's why you can go to various places, even in our country, places of worship, and there you'll see statues, and these statues represent God. And people will say, oh, that's what God looks like. That's not right. If we're to please God, we're to come to him believing that he is as he reveals himself in the Bible. If I want to see God, know God, learn about God, I've got to turn to the Bible. And it's only by believing what I read in the Bible concerning God that I please him. If I add something to what is revealed in the Bible, I don't please God. Are you listening? He that cometh to God must believe that he is. And that's how you start to please God, by coming to him. Stopping what Adam did while he was a sinner. Turning around, that's what repentance is all about. Repentance is a turning of our heart and mind away from the things that we had been doing and engaging in, and a turning right round, facing in the new direction, the right direction, facing God, and beginning to move toward him by believing what the Bible says about him. Each thing we learn about God in the Bible, we receive, we believe. We believe he is almighty. Yes, I believe that. And that pleases God. We believe that he is the creator of all things. Not as men say, evolution and man developing from creatures of the past, etc., etc. Nonsense. No, no! We believe that God has created all things. And that pleases him. We come to the Bible then. And we believe what we read in the Bible concerning God. And we believe it, we receive it. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. And then I'll ask you to notice that when we seek the Lord, come to the Lord, we've got to do it most earnestly. There's a lovely verse given by the Saviour that's found in Luke chapter 11 and the verse 10. you'll know it when I read it to you. It says, "For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, shall it be opened." Now that's a very wonderful promise. It's so definite. Ask, receive. Seek, find. Knock, open. But there's also progression there. Sometimes, you know, and I've noticed this when people go out distributing gospel tracts, and they ring the doorbell once, and nothing happens, and they almost turn immediately and say, "Oh, there's nobody there, I better go," because there is that within us which is happy to escape a confrontation with a worldly person about the gospel. But those who are determined to get an answer will ring the bell once, maybe twice, and they might even knock just to make sure that they're heard. That's persistence. And boys and girls, faith is persistent. Faith's not casual about the things of God. Doesn't take lightly the things of God, but faith presses until it gets an answer. I think of the wee woman I read about her this morning in another passage that I read, who was sick and had been sick for 12 long years and was dying, and faith sprung up in her heart. She'd heard about the Lord Jesus, and she said, "If I can only touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed." Wonderful faith. But she was weak from her sickness. I would say she could hardly walk. And when she came, the Lord Jesus was surrounded by a crowd of men. And very likely, they didn't make any room for the wee woman. But she, in her eagerness, pushed and shoved and wiggled her way through until she reached the Savior. She touched the hem of his garment. She was healed. And she knew she was healed. That's faith. Faith doesn't give up. Faith goes on until it gets an answer from God. Gets an answer from God. Let me close by saying that in this verse, the seeker after God is assured of a reward. Look at it saying, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." Millions think they can please God by merely going to church occasionally, sitting there, not even listening, standing with a hymn book open before them, not bothering to sing, but they think that's pleasing God. No, he that cometh to God must believe, engage the heart in coming to him, and believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Boys and girls, those of you who are saved today, you have a reward awaiting you. You have a great reward. An everlasting reward. Every person at the end of the week, or maybe it's at the end of the month, receives their wages. And by the way, that's what that word means. A reward. A wage. God is a wage coming your way, and you may not realize it, but every day you're spending some of it. But the fullness of your wage awaits you. Listen to what it says in the Word of God. Peter says that we're going, those who are saved, are going to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Look at those things that are said about this reward. Now, as I say, out there, the great majority of the citizens of this land receive wages at the end of their work. If it's a weekly wage, they get it on a Friday night. And they have it spent by Monday, in most cases. I remember well, before I was saved, when I got paid, and I used to give a portion to my mother on a Friday night, for keeping me. But by Monday I was going to her and saying, "Could you give me back some of that? Because I had spent what I had received on the Friday." Foolishly. Boys and girls, you'll never spend all of God's wage. We're going to dwell forever in heaven. and we will still have some of God's wage to spend forever. His is an everlasting reward, a bottomless reward. There's no end to it. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to please God by believing in Him as He set forth in the Scriptures. Boys and girls, give heed to the gospel today. Give heed to the gospel. Come to Christ. For he that cometh to him, he'll not cast out, but he'll reward those that diligently seek him. Let's bow in prayer. We thank thee, Lord, for your mercy and kindness. Please give understanding to the boys and girls. God, open their hearts and their understanding. Let them not be like those companions of Paul on the road to Damascus, who, hearing, didn't see anything, didn't see Christ, but rather, Lord, let us be like Paul, who both heard and saw, and said, what wouldst thou have me to do? Bless the school today. We commit it into thy hands as another term begins and a new year begins. This we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.